Well, what can I say? John Richardson, he's an Oscar-winning special effects supervisor and designer. He's been involved in over 100 movies, and I'm not talking about just any movies, including 9 James Bond adventures, all 8 Harry Potter films, Aliens, Superman, A Bridge Too Far, Straw Dogs, The Omen, Cliffhanger. Oh, the list is endless, and I tell you, it is such a pleasure to welcome onto the programme today the man himself, John Richardson. Good day to you, John.
Good morning. Thank you for asking me on the show.
Well, it's a real pleasure. Now, I say, I've just been through a few of the films that you've been involved in your life. And, of course, you had a famous father as well in the industry. And I've always been a film buff. And I've seen your name on many credits of many films now. I sort of think about it subconsciously. So tell us a little bit about you obviously had a father that sort of obviously gave you inspiration, but what made you want to go into sort of designing and blowing things up and beheading people and making gadgets and so on and so forth in the movie industry?
Well, my father started in the business in, I think it was 1921. So he was working initially on silent movies. Oh, excuse me. And he worked with Hitchcock, and he was at the Ealing doing propaganda films during the Second World War.
Sure.
So, you know, I came along and I grew up going onto film sets from really as young as I can remember.
I can imagine, yes.
I can remember being rowed across a huge water tank with all Captain Hornblower's ships of the line on it. And you're playing on real Sherman tanks on Chobham Common, so... You know, when you grow up and your father sort of builds huge models, blows things up and burns things down for a living, you know, what else is any self-respecting young boy going to want to do?
Absolutely. And of course, I suppose when you're coming out of, you know, you're going to school and you're having your breakfast and then he takes you to a film set. I mean, it must have been a sort of such a different world. It was, you know, going from normal day into that must have been quite traumatic in a way, but extremely exhilarating.
Well, I mean, it was great. I can remember I was in Madrid. My father was doing a film out there called Alexander the Great, mm-hmm. in the early 50s, and a golden-haired god lifted in full costume, lifted me up and sat me on his horse. It turned out to be Richard Burton.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, back in those days, everybody was a lot, or it seems to me that everybody was a lot friendlier. You know, we all used to stay in the hotels. It didn't matter, you know, what sort of rank anybody was on the movie, whether you were a big star or a technician.
Nice.
So, you know, we all got on and had fun. And, you know, I used to go away with my father during school holidays and, you know, get a job working with him. So, you know, I've been working on film sets since the age of probably 13 or 14.
And so the variety of creativity, or the incredible range of things that you were involved in. I mean, it's not just like you're, as an actor, you go and do a part and you act. Whereas when you're creating effects for a movie and special effects, mechanical or whether they, and of course today we have so much CGI, but The visualization of these effects. How does your sort of mind work in that regard?
difficult one to ask, but again, it's part of the charm of special effects. It covers such a vast area of different genres, and you know, within my crew, I have to have machinists, engineers, welders, people that know all about gases, and people that know all about water, model makers, you know, the list is endless.
I was going to ask you that question. You have almost all the crafts that you can imagine are involved in creating special effects for movies. And, of course, also there's the safety aspect as well.
Well, you know, we were doing this long before health and safety came along. And we used to do our own health and safety, and I rather like to think we did it quite well.
Good.
Because, you know, we were trained special effects men, and now the health and safety men that are telling us what we can and can't do aren't really trained in special effects. So sometimes that does puzzle me a little bit. But, you know, I've always said a special effects man is a jack of all trades but a master of one, and the one being special effects.
And as you say, that has also changed. Of course, the camaraderie in the set as well has seems to have sort of moved into a totally different era now. I mean, sort of everyone's a diva these days, unfortunately. But just looking back over your career, John, and it is an illustrious career. Obviously, in the early days, when you sort of started in the 60s, I mean, you were involved in the original Casino Royale and the Battle of Britain. Now, I remember to Sewell Airport in Northamptonshire where I lived and watched some of the, because they had some of the Spitfires up there doing scenes for the film. What were you involved in? Because they had some amazing explosions in that Battle of Britain, and when they were attacked the hangars. Were you involved in that?
We looked after all of the London Blitz effects, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we made one of the big warehouses in St. Catherine's Dock in the middle of London look as though it was burning
down.
That's
right, yeah.
You know, doing water explosions in the dock there. But we also looked after all the bombing of all the airfields.
Sure.
And all the explosions related to that. So it was pretty constant throughout the film.
It was.
Our side of it, and it was a logistical challenge as much as anything, because, you know, we were moving between different airfields. We did an awful lot at Northfield and Duxford.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed to say that we blew up one of the main hangars at Duxford. I don't think they forgive us for now, but
I did read about that, yeah. but I mean, that must have been a tremendous opportunity, because it was in early on in your career and you were a special effects assistant who weren't credited in the film. But I would imagine that the amount of knowledge that you acquired in being involved in that film must have been quite far reaching.
Yeah, but of course, I was working with my father, and on, you know, certain occasions I was looking after the set myself, but it was a challenging movie, but a great learning experience, and particularly coming shortly after Casino Royale, which was a rather baffling movie to work on.
It was a baffling movie to watch, I think, as well.
We had seven directors,
yeah, that's right,
including Bob Parrish and John Huston. We had four James Bonds, David Niven, Woody Allen,
I remember
Peter
it well.
Sellers, and a guy called Terence Cooper. Mm. We never had a complete script. We used to get bits of script every day. Orson Welles played the baddie, who I had to blow up in the torture chamber. it was a huge learning experience, and we came on to that just after working on Help, the Beatles movie. So we spent 3 months going to work every day with the Beatles, sitting on the set while we would be preparing the next shot. They'd all start up a jam session. You know, talk about privilege to have been there.
Wow, yes. I mean, what an experience.
That was extraordinary.
As I say, your book, Making Movie Magic, I mean, we could talk for hours if we had the opportunity, quite honestly, John. A lifetime creating special effects. Now, obviously, you did all the Harry Potter films, which is quite an achievement. Was it seven James Bond movies you were involved in?
Nine in total, including the Rogue, Casino Royale.
Casino Royale, the first, yeah, okay, okay. Out of all this tremendous work that you've done over the years, is it fair to ask you which films or which productions basically sort of stand out in your mind that really were quite special to you?
Well, there are several, and mostly for different reasons. A Bridge Too Far was a huge logistical...
Thank you. I've actually got lined up the theme from A Bridge Too Far to play on our way out. So carry on.
And, you know, we got through, I think it was a ton and a half of high explosives, about 14 tons of pyrotechnics and low explosives.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how many hundreds of tons of dust and other materials to create all the ground explosions. So that was one. Lucky Lady was mm-hmm. another one, which it wasn't a fantastically successful film, but it starred Gene Hackman, Burt mm-hmm. Reynolds and Liza Minnelli. Mm. It was directed by the wonderful Stanley Donen,
who
I did three movies with. And we were shooting at sea in the Gulf of Mexico. And just the logistics of having 30 boats going all over the place with fires, explosions, and blowing them up, again, was a real challenge. So I look at that one fondly, as I do probably The Omen, Cliffhanger, of course, all of the James Bond movies, the Cully Broccoli Bonds, because they were fantastic to work on. They gave us huge challenges.
Indeed.
And, of course, we did an awful lot of model work. And back in the 80s, 90s, when I was doing them, this was really pre-CGI. So we had to be much more clever, more inventive. And I'd like to think those movies now have a reality to them that is better than most of what you look at today.
Just on that question there, obviously the technology has improved exponentially, hasn't it, over the last 50 years in filmmaking, and especially, as you say, in special effects with CGI, really taking over so much of that work, you know, sort of green screen, blue screen, whatever you want to call it, has become the norm. But mechanical effects, they still have a tremendously important place, don't they, in movie making, wouldn't you agree?
They do. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think CGI is a wonderful tool when it's used properly. And, you know, my maxim has always been, can you do it for real? Can you do it for real safely and, you know, within an economical budget? And if you can, that's the way to do it. If you can't do it 100% like that, can you do it with CGI as a backup to enhance what you're doing?
Indeed, yeah.
And then go to full CGI when you have to. Mm. Sadly, I don't think all directors see that anymore.
No.
And a lot of the people out there haven't had the experience to know what can be done for real. And sometimes with a little bit of a tweak or an adjustment, you could do so much more for real and make it look better. But I think, sadly, it's slipping away. And the people who are, you know, really well trained in the reality special effects side of it, I think we're a bit of a dying breed.
But,
you know, there we go.
Well, we've had the benefits of your remarkable creative input over the years, John, and I think we have to be grateful for that. I have to tell you, one of my favourite films of all time was made in the 50s. Of course, it's William Wyler's Ben-Hur. And the only bad thing about Ben-Hur, the original film, was the sea battle. And when they did a remake of it recently, they actually got the sea battle looking a lot better. But what a remarkable achievement that chariot race was. I mean, it took 3 months to do. But there's those sort of effects, those sort of mechanical effects where, okay, you had a degree of match screening, didn't they? But so much of that was actually real and happening. Astonishing stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I did a movie back in the early 60s called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Oh, yes, of course.
And, we had a chariot race in that. And that was quite an interesting episode because, of course, we were back doing the same sort of rigs and, mechanical things to turn chariots over that they'd done on Ben-Hur. So I did get a bit of experience on that along the way.
John, it's been a remarkable career, and I congratulate you on your book. It's called Making Movie Magic, A Lifetime Creating Special Effects. And just let our listeners know some of the other films you've been involved in. Men in Black 2, Starship Troopers, but a lot of special effects in that film, wasn't there? That Christopher Columbus, The Discovery, and all those Harry Potter films and all those Bond movies. And I congratulate you. The book is published by the History Press. It's available now, and you can find it through a TRE.radio's book site and sort of obviously all the usual places. Been a wonderful, wonderful sort of opportunity to talk to you, and I thank you so much for joining me. And I sound a little bit excitable. It's just been a joy to talk to you, John Richardson. Thank you so much, and I got to get my hands on a copy of your book. And whenever I watch any of these films now, I will think of you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on. And I hope everybody enjoys the book.